negative religion. Most spiritual practitioners employ religion for mere worldly gains, use religious means to serve their personal ends, with no thought of eradicating their desires, no attempt at spiritual evolution, no idea of attaining the ultimate state of enlightenment. People in every faith go to religion just to satisfy their material, emotional, and intellectual demands. Their approach is purely utilitarian, selfish, and self-centered. All that is negative in character. One class of people go to pilgrimages, conduct religious ceremonies, perform various rituals for their material well-being. They pray for riches, higher status, better health, and other mundane benefits. Their motives rise no higher than that. A second class of persons seeks religion asylum for emotional solace. They are the ones who are mentally disturbed, who are not able to handle their life's problems and go through sorrow and suffering. Such people approach religious avenues to ease their mental woes and gain peace. They also have utilitarian motives with no higher goal in mind. They are selfish in nature, far from being religious. People in the third category pursue religion to satisfy mere intellectual curiosity, to clear their doubt and confusion about the world. They consume various literature which provides them a satisfaction to their general queries. No sooner they find their intellectual solutions than their pursuit of religion ends. Their subtle intellect remains dormant. It lacks the strength or conviction to delve deeper into the quintessence of life. They have practically no spiritual urge to realize the Supreme Self within, attain spiritual liberation. Religion is not meant to cater to your physical, mental, and intellectual desires. It is designed to rehabilitate the inner personality, reconstruct the fallen mind and intellect. The modern mind and intellect have deteriorated to an alarming extent, and they lie dilapidated in spiritual ruins. The role of religion is to pull the human race out of the ruinous state it has plunged into. The mind is bereft of all chastity. Human emotions have turned base, vulgar, violent, while the intellect has hit an all-time low. Thinking has lost its originality. Reasoning is no longer free and clear. The need of the day is to chasten human emotion, cultivate the art of thinking, strengthen the intellect, educate people on higher values of life, regenerate their inner personality, guide them inward to recognize the supreme reality. That calls for consistent effort in a planned course of evolution. A role that religion is meant to play. The process of true spiritual education is gradual, slow but sure. Since its results do not show up immediately, hardly any takes to it. People do not want to strive and struggle, pay the price of peace and bliss. Instead, look for instant relief and remedy. The present religious practices the world over are far removed from spiritual education. For generations, people have become averse to spiritual study and reflection. None realizes that human beings need specific direction in life and living. All other creatures save human have their respective instructions built into their lives by nature, with little choice to live apart from their built-in directives. Human beings alone are left with a choice of action. either to get involved in the terrestrial or turn towards the transcendental. Again, in the terrestrial field, what is to be done and what not? The same dilemma prevails in the spiritual arena as well. Is one to gain true spiritual knowledge through an authentic course of study and reflection, or blindly follow the senseless rituals and ceremonies imposed by religious fanatics? People are totally lost adhering to some blind faith, sheer superstition and routine ritual. These are purposeless practices maintained by spiritually illiterate masses. Apart from these, two other fads have been spreading the world over in the name of religion: yoga asanas, physical exercises, and meditation. These are the viruses that have killed the spirit of religion. These two faddish practices are simple and easy for teachers to communicate and masses to follow. That makes them even more popular. In sheer ignorance, people take to these practices through hereditary or peer pressure. They lack the intellect to steer themselves away from these pressures and observe a disciplined, methodic procedure for their spiritual evolution. Yoga has a worldwide market today. It has been reduced to mere asanas, physical postures, and pranayama, breathing techniques. These are good exercises which tune up the physical body. No more. But people are led to believe that they are mystical, divine, and the ignorant have accepted yogasanas and pranayama as a spiritual course. This spiritual merchandise has earned the promoters wealth, name, and fame, while leaving the followers in confusion and chaos. Yoga exercises are gross. They can no doubt shape the gross body, but not the subtle body. The subtle body consists of the mind and intellect. You could build your physical structure through asanas and pranayama, but in no way develop your inner personality. The gross can never control the subtle. It is the law. The second fad sweeping the human race is meditation. Meditation has become the bestseller in the world today. Self-appointed religious heads are hawking meditation as like Swiss watches and Japanese cars. It has turned into a multi-million dollar business. The innocent masses do not know what they are buying. They are swept away by publicity campaigns, unaware of the adverse results that the meditation can bring about to ill-prepared minds clustered with desires. Meditation is specialized training carefully administered to advanced spiritual practitioners. Yet millions flock to meditation halls without a clue of what it is and the consequence it leads them to. A simple reason for its mass appeal is the initial solace it gives to a novice. It is usually people suffering from stress and strain that take to meditation. A mind with considerable mental agitation is suddenly brought to the thought of divinity. The mind experiences a certain solace, a temporary feeling of peace, which is comforting. As a result, one is led to believe that meditation can directly bring about peace and bliss. Therefore, the practitioner plunges into it more seriously and finds himself losing his mental equilibrium. He gradually becomes more agitated, frustrated in life. Few realize where the mistake lies. Some believe that they are not putting in adequate effort. They even try harder and cause themselves greater harm. The instant effect of peace caused by meditation can be explained from a common phenomena experienced by people. A metropolitan businessman is generally infested with worry and anxiety. His mind is agitated, with no peace and harmony. He spends sleepless nights in his luxurious mansion. On one rare occasion, he joins his family for a picnic to the woods. The wife is organizing a meal. The children are chasing butterflies. The man rests his head on the protruding root of a tree and falls off to sleep. The very same man who could not sleep on the cushioned mattress in his air-conditioned bedroom. The reason for this phenomena is that the environment lends a temporary charm to the disturbed mind. But the effect of the environmental peace does not last long. If, however, he repeats his visits to the same place, he will lose the temporary influence. He will sleep no more. On the contrary, his mind becomes more agitated, frustrated, without the luxury of his home. The effect of meditation on a beginner is just the same. A mind congested with thoughts and desires, worries and anxieties, is drawn to one line of thought. It is removed from the congestion of thoughts for those moments. It experiences a temporary peace. This practice thus lends the charm to an agitated mind. That feeling is lost with repeated attempts at meditation. Some understand its futility and drop the practice. But the ignoramuses are led to believe that the instant relief is a permanent transformation of their personality. They pursue doggedly only to be disappointed and frustrated in their lives. Thus, the general trend everywhere is to abuse religion rather than use it for the redemption of humanity. The unauthentic, superstitious practices in the name of religion have taken root because of the temporary solace they produce. People seem content with the ephemeral effects of religion. They do not realize, with the effect wearing away, their old nature of stress and strain returns. This resembles a strange phenomena which occurs in the Himalayan ranges year after year. In winter, when it's biting cold, snakes become cold-stricken. A snake lies coiled as if lifeless. For all purposes, it appears dead. People handle it as a rope. The same snake, with a little warmth, stretches itself. It regains its nature. Similarly, the wrong ways of religion may subdue the desires and ego for a while. But the moment the environment situation turns conducive, the self-same desires and ego rise again to the surface. Hence, the true spiritual way of life is to exterminate the desires, not just subdue them. An extermination of desires alone unveils the Supreme Self.